Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by LegalZoom. Prepare for your family's future with an estate plan from LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom.com and enter AAA at checkout for special savings. And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It helps you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at RocketMortgage.com/Android. And FreshBooks, the ridiculously easy way to use cloud accounting software used by over 10 million people. Try it free for 30 days at FreshBooks.com/AAA.
Welcome to All About Android. This is episode number 326, recorded live on July 18th, 2017. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I am Florence Ion.
And I'm Ron Richards, and we are Jasonless.
We are very Jasonless, but not completely guestless, because we've got Russell Ivanovich here from Australia, also my co-host now on the Material Podcast. Hello. Russell, ooh, how are you?
G'day, everybody. It's me, your token Australian. How are you going?
If there's one thing All About Android has, it's a token Australian.
Token Australian.
Luckily, we've got Russell.
You got to fill your quota. Everybody needs one.
How you been, Russell? It's good to see you, man.
Yeah, I've been good. Very good. Got a tiny bit of a cold, but hopefully it doesn't come across. I don't think I can infect you through the microphone, so let's just hope that doesn't work.
Well,
so as we always do whenever somebody from Down Under is on the show, what time is it there? And thank you for talking to us at an odd hour.
It is extremely odd. It is 10:47 a.m. Oh, man, I just had to get up real early to do the show.
Okay, yeah. That's not too bad then. All right, there we go. Who's on? Oh, it was when Mateo's on from Scotland that he's on at like 4 in the morning.
Yeah, he was on at like 4 in the morning.
Yeah, okay. Well, good.
So this week it's been kind of a quiet week, but we've still got a lot to talk about. Today we'll be discussing dying emoji, Google Glass's resurgence, Nokia's new Android phone, and more. But first, we're going to have our dear and wonderful friend Brian cue us for the news.
Things might be a little shaky today because I'm working with a new TriCaster profile. But now it's time for Android news.
It's not only that we got to deal with no Jason, but also with a new TriCaster profile. It's like the gauntlet of podcasting here. So, yeah.
It's all right. It's contributing. You know, this is good. That's a good way to lead us in. Thank you, Brian. So, guys, I don't know. Did you guys hear yesterday was World Emoji Day? Very big deal. Such a big deal. Every other commercial on television was about that emoji movie that is playing. But also, we were reminded yesterday of a very sad fact, and that is that once Android O comes to fruition, we'll be saying goodbye to those beautiful blobs that we've come to know all these years. Those beautiful yellow blobs that have just been us as Android users.
It's been Google's take on the emoji. And I gotta admit, when I first saw the blob emoji, I hated them. But over the years, I've come to appreciate them.
Well, now we're getting these circular guys that look like everybody else's. So there goes our individualism in the world of emojis. But I'm not bitter. I guess we'll be okay with it. And, you know, if I really need it, I could just download the sticker pack in Allo. So there's that.
I mean, that's the network we're all exchanging messages on, isn't it? Anyway, so I mean, if you're in there already, you're not missing out.
Wait, Russell, do you have Allo Down Under?
We do. I don't know what that actually means. Like, I think I have one person that I message on there, and I think I messaged them last like 3 months ago. Let me just check.
That's too bad.
Still here on my home screen though. I've still got Allo. I don't know why it's on my home screen. I don't actually open this. I'm opening it right now, Flo. 5th of June is when I last sent a message on there. So, see, I'm an active Allo user.
There it is.
Is that the right flag? Was that the right?
It was either that or New Zealand. Close enough. Yeah, that looks like the Australian flag.
Well, I don't know. Ron, how do you feel about the emoji?
Well, I mean, whatever. The emoji, well, we're going to find out later in the show how I feel about the emoji.
Okay.
The emoji has become a big part of our lives, and I got to admit that I'm going to miss the blob emoji because I got used to it, and also in several of the key emojis I use, I looked at – so I downloaded the Android O, or as they're calling it very presumptuously, the Android Oreo emoji pack for Textra. So I'm already using the Android – I moved on from the blobs in my text messages, right? And they've made some minor changes to some of my key emoji in Android O that I'm not happy with, about at all.
Okay, like what? Give us very curious.
So for example, and I'm trying to find it in the Emojipedia to share with Brian, but my go-to emoji for a lot of my communication, especially with my girlfriend, is the hugging face.
Yeah.
Right? not because I want it to be hugging. There you go, Brian. It's in the chat, so you can show everybody here. Oh, yeah, there you go. There's one. That's not Emojipedia, but that's enough. Yeah, wait, hang on. Use this one, Brian. There you go. There's Emojipedia. Okay, so the hugging face emoji on every other emoji platform, as well as the blobs, is like a happy face with hands that go out. And to me, that doesn't really look like – it's all about the interpretation. But there, you look at the Google one. There's the blobby one. It's not really a hug, but it's more like a waka waka kind
exactly.
of face.
Exactly.
You know, like, ah.
Hey.
And so now if you go back to Emojipedia, Brian, you can see that they don't have Android O there, but they are changing it so that it's similar to Emoji 1, which is actually the hands turned inward, right? That looks a lot like the Android O version of the hugging face. And that completely changes the tone of when I send that. So now I need to find a new go-to emoji.
You know, I've actually seen a couple of – I even wrote – this, yes, and it should be going up this week about how the sweat face emoji is going to completely change with the new emoji in Android O. Yeah. It's going to mean sickly and just not feeling well, whereas I typically use it for being anxious or nervous, which is pretty much every minute of my life.
especially when Jason's not here. So I don't know. So Russell, if you had to choose a blob emoji or no blob emoji, which direction would you go?
Oh, I'm 100% in the blob camp. Like, I was the same as you. When they first came out, I'm like, these are ugly. Well, whatever. And then they just grow on you. I don't know what it is. A few months in, you're like, these little blobs, they're so like, you know, they're just, I don't know, they're little blobs and they're just so cute. And you just get so used to them. And then every now and again, I'll switch to a Samsung phone. I'll be like, what is this? Where are my blobs? And now everybody's losing the blobs. We actually had this this whole controversy at Google I/O this year because we all got the developer preview of Android O, and the first thing people would notice, they're like, oh, my emoji are gone, and that caused like outrage for 3 days. So I'm glad to see it's flaring back up again.
Well,
yeah,
we're going to have to do a real in-depth – I feel like I need to do a real in-depth like look at the emoji and see how they're going to fit into my life.
I mean, I got to admit, after test driving it for a bit now with Textra, with the icon pack, with the emoji pack, they're not bad. They're good. I mean, I think it's a good change. They're definitely more – I have an issue with the fact that Apple and Google and Twitter and Facebook, and they're all these different, you know, like they all want their individuality with the emoji, and there's all these variations on the emoji. I would much rather have uniformity, right?
That's like, what Google's going for. I mean, they
exactly,
had said that in their blog.
Right. So this is definitely a step in the direction of uniformity. But even then, like the little variations, it can change the interpretation dramatically.
Oh, big time. I love that it's 2017 and we're talking about the interoperability of emoji. Like, it doesn't matter about all the other communication standards.
We've got to get our emoji the same. It's one of our languages now. I mean, emoji is such a – like, if I really love somebody, I'm putting emoji in my text to them because I'm taking that extra effort.
If they're on a different operating system and they get your emoji, they're like, why does Flo hate me? What's going on?
When they just see blank spaces and I'm like, update your phone.
My favorite is when we have emojis on some platforms that aren't on other platforms. So instead I get an emoji and then a block of color next to it and a gender symbol.
Yes. It's lazy. That's lazy.
Yes. Actually. At least it's explaining to me what it, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. That's a lady. But yeah, so emoji day, whatever, but definitely losing the blobs is going to be a sad moment, but that's not all we're losing this week, folks. Do you remember Jide and Remix OS?
Kind of.
Did you guys hear about this? Kind of, a little bit. Well, Remix OS was promised by Jide to be the ultimate desktop fork of Android, right? It had floating windows, mouse and keyboard support, a kind of a start bar, and a file system, and all this sort of stuff. They launched a bunch of stuff on Kickstarter, mainly the Remix OS powered TV box, and so a lot of really interesting stuff. A desktop first kind of approach to Android. I was excited about it because I love these kind of products. Jide unfortunately announced that development on all existing products is going to come to an end. And anyone who backed Jide on Kickstarter will get a full refund. And the repayment process is going to begin on August 15th. And they're not going away. They're not going out of business. They're moving to the enterprise.
Ooh.
Which is going to become a theme for this episode. And actually, Brian, if you hop over to Jide.com, you can see their statement. Where they basically explain, you know, they thank all the Kickstarter, you know, the supporters that could have done it without you, and they're eternally grateful. But it's that third paragraph that says, over the past year, we received an increasing number of inquiries from the enterprises in various industries and began helping them build great tools for their organizations by leveraging Jide software and hardware. We see huge potential in the role that Jide can play to revolutionize how these businesses operate. And given our existing resources, we decided to focus our company's efforts solely on the enterprise space moving forward. That is translation for more enterprise people will buy their products than consumers will buy their TV box. And that's just a business decision, and that happens sometimes.
I mean, it works for Microsoft.
It works for Google, as we're going to find out.
It works for everybody. Yeah. I don't know, yeah. Russell, what do you think about these sort of maybe it's a little harsh, but I want to call them knockoff Android desktop OSs.
Ooh, you went there. I think in the desktop world, right? We've got the Linux, you've got your Mac OS, you've got your Windows, and I know you've got Chrome OS as well that now runs Android apps. I thought this was a cool Kickstarter when it came out, but I just kind of don't see where it kind of fits in the market. Like, it's already mainly covered. I know they were trying to build that TV box as well, but I just feel like they, as odd as it sounds, I think they made the right decision. Like, I don't think there was a market for this, like, going forward.
Especially when Samsung came out with the thing that Flo hates that I like. What is it called, Flo?
I don't hate it. I was just thinking about Dex.
Dex.
I use it to play games. Yep. Hook up a Bluetooth remote and put it onto the TV. Yeah.
So they had the right idea, and while they had the support of a small, passionate community, they probably did the math and realized that, hey, we could go way further if we just serve the enterprise, which you can't blame.
Enterprises pay you way more money. I used to work in an enterprise company, and believe me, like, the kind of checks they write to you are much bigger than any consumer is ever going to do. So they probably saw the dollar bills and they're like, sweet.
Well, this is all one big tease for the hardware section when we talk about the enterprise a lot there. But yeah, so goodbye, Jide Remix OS. Us consumers hardly knew ye. And if you work in the enterprise, get in touch. Maybe you can get your hands on one of them.
And if you've got an HTC 10, maybe you saw some ads pop up this weekend on your stock keyboard. Apparently this weekend there's a little bit of complaining on the social medias about apparent ads existing in the default keyboard on the HTC 10. This was first spotted by Reddit, as where many things do begin to manifest. And HTC 10... owners seem to be the worst affected, so those of you with U11 doesn't really seem to be affecting there. It turns out that a statement from HTC confirmed that the ads were mistakenly included through an update to the TouchPal keyboard that came as a part of the HTC 10. I don't know, you guys. It's kind of a bummer to have ads pop up on your phone. It kind of soils the experience a little bit. I don't know. Ron, what do you think? You're the one who suggested your sister an HTC 10, so.
Well, I did. I know, and I feel bad. And it kind of reminds me of the Amazon approach where we're gonna subsidize these phones with advertising. And, you know, my mom has a Kindle Fire tablet, and, you know, I was fixing something on it for her, and I realized that, like, every lock screen has an ad on it. And so that's just the thing that happens now. I don't know. It's weird. Weird to be coming from HTC.
Well, let's think about, too, that Nokia phone, I believe, that's on Amazon that comes with ads. And it's only $150.
Yeah.
I mean, why was this update pushed in the first place? I don't know.
The question is, it was a mistake. So we understand it was a mistake and it happens. But the code exists. So there's intent somewhere
exactly
down the line.
That's right? That's the scary thing, is you see this sort of like precedent being set by some of these lower end phones. And you see this little like kind of accident push through. I mean, obviously this was coded to do that sort of thing. I don't know, Russell. You're an app developer. What do you think about, you know, this inclusion of ads?
I think somewhere there's a very scared developer that pushed the wrong branch of some kind of build out, and they're like, oh no. And she's probably gone on vacation for 3 weeks now and never coming back. But seriously, this kind of stuff does happen in software development. You often have like concurrent branches. You often have potentially there's a consumer version of this and they were going to play with ads in some kind of A/B testing. Goodness knows. Like I can't imagine it was their intention to push it to their actual flagship device, because that's, you'd have to be pretty darn stupid to do that. Like, I just feel like that, I believe them, that was a mistake. And I know the code was in there and obviously like I had to get in there somehow, but I'm sure they're testing it for some other purpose. I honestly feel really bad for the person that actually accidentally pushed the go button and then got like a phone call Saturday morning or whatever. And they're like, by the way, just open your phone and have a look at this. What do you see?
Just open your phone and see what happens when you try to type a message. It's not good. Anyway, there is a fix for this. You can go into the settings and disable it via the TouchPal app. So,
all right.
Or you can install a real keyboard.
Yeah, that's the other option. That's what's great about Android. You don't like how something works, then install another keyboard and use it and never see it again. See, so that's a good solution for sure. And finally, in the news, we got some requests from the chat room about what's the status of the Essential phone. Where is it? Still no idea when it's coming to the U.S., which is burning a hole in my pocket, I'll be honest with you, because I was ready to put the money down. They just got to deliver. But a report in the Financial Times reported that the Essential phone is coming to the UK, possibly as a carrier exclusive, and unknown if it's going to be before the US or not. But the exact date is unknown as of right now. But the pricing for the UK phone is still to be confirmed, expecting it to be around £700. And then also some rumors that the Essential executives are working on a Japan and European rollout. So they're working on an international rollout here, folks. It's happening. You know, wheels are moving, but still no idea of when the U.S. phone is going to come out. Russell, what is your take on the Essential phone? What do you think of the design? What do you think of the whole shebang?
I mean, I think it looks cool. I kind of have a lot of respect for Andy Rubin, but there's just something about this phone, I'm sorry, Ron, that just doesn't grab me. And I think the fact that they're not talking about a US launch probably means that they're struggling to make like a lot of these things. So that's potentially why they're going to places like Japan and the UK. Maybe they can, you know, they can up the prices a bit.
Legally?
Could be legal things as well.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe but Sprint is.
Sell me on this phone, Ron. I have to know what is so cool about it. Like, why is it burning a hole in your pocket?
Three words for you. I had to count them. Three words for you. All right. The future, four words. The future is, three words. The future is bezel-less. I love the design. I love the approach. I love the end-to-end glass on the top and the bottom. I even love the little divot for the front-facing camera. I just think that their approach to the design and to the whole philosophy of the company in terms of building a phone that is more modeled after how we actually use them, that is drop somewhat, not proof, but drop, you know, like you can drop it and it's not the end of the world for the phone. Just look at that picture. Just look at the photo of how the screen goes all the way to the end and all the way to the top and the bottom. Like, it's great. It's glorious. And it just, honestly, it's something different. It's something new. And you know, I did with Nextbit. I really like new hardware startups. You know, I'm kind of tired of the HTCs and the Samsungs and the LGs of the world. But I'll be honest with you. My Nextbit Robin battery is lasting less and less after each charge, and I look at that pixel and I'm getting real close to pulling the trigger. So Essential is missing out by not shipping this phone.
Well, so. I was gonna say, apparently the next pixel is supposed to be a little more bezel-less than the current one. So wondering if that could tickle your fancy a tiny bit.
It could, although look at that green phone on the far right in that screenshot, man. That ocean depths color.
Yeah,
the green
you've
been phone with the rose
called
highlight. Like that phone looks like nothing else out there. I love it. So if they can give me, I mean, but I like the pixel, the blue pixel. That was awesome too. I just want different. I just want something that doesn't look like the anonymous brick China phone.
I feel you, Ron. I'm there with you. I mean, remember, we are brothers from other mothers.
We are.
Yeah.
So, well, Russell, I'm sorry that Essential isn't doing it for you, but it doesn't matter because the phone doesn't actually exist.
Ron, you told
it's
it
true.
To
it doesn't exist yet.
If Andy Rubin's listening, come to Australia. We're a tiny country. No one's going to buy your phone here. So you'll have no manufacturing issues whatsoever, and I'll be able to buy it before Ron. So that's a big plus.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Probably not at this rate. I mean, I really got to wonder. I mean, Flo, you brought up the legal issue. I know that they had that trademark dispute. But I said a couple of episodes ago, I really got to wonder if it's, you know, if it's like, you know, getting the approvals for the electronics and all that sort of certifications and things like that, whether it's the FCC and all these other kind of companies, you know, what they, you know, need to use. I don't know. We'll
I
see.
Wonder if the carrier thing is what's holding them back. Cause I mean, I feel like a lot of, manufacturers that come that are debuting the U.S., they tend to sort of skew the carrier because they don't want to deal with any of that stuff.
Right. I don't know.
Nobody knows.
We'll see. All right. Well,
we've
moving
got an
on.
Email.
We did get an email, and it's related. We were talking about the Android O emojis, and this is related to Android O. Jackson Hayes wrote in, and he sent a video mail. So we're going to roll. Brian, play the first 32 seconds of his video.
Hey guys, this is Jackson Hayes. I just wanted to share something that was pretty cool that happened today. Today I tweeted, "Hey Lockheimer," tagging Hiroshi, obviously. I said, "If I were to buy you a dessert, what would you like? An orange, an oatmeal cookie, or an Oreo?" I kind of hoped that he would respond. I mean, obviously I hoped that he would respond, but I didn't expect it. And then he actually did. And this is what he said. He said, "Actually kind of thirsty, craving Orangina."
All right, so good job, Jackson. I'm going straight to friend of the show, Hiroshi, to get some insight on what it's going to be called. But Jackson actually added some more analysis of Hiroshi's response. And he's saying, you know, just getting the response was awesome, but his reply gives us information. He says there's a couple of ways to interpret this response. As I pull out my headphones, one second. Sorry about that. Okay. He says, on one hand, there's the, oh my God, it's going to be Orangina, which may be the case. However, Hiroshi has been known to tease potential desserts for Android that are incorrect. I'm thinking of Nutella for N. Thus, I think Orangina can be crossed off the list. I also believe orange and Oreo can be crossed off the list. That's because of some references inside Android 8.0's code that reference OC-MR1 and OC-Dev, which I believe point to oatmeal cookie. Whatever the name of Android O will actually be, I was quite surprised by Hiroshi's response. Obviously, totally made my day. And that's pretty cool. Hiroshi's a fun guy.
That was really sweet, by the way. Thank you so much for sending us that. That really made my day. And also, I really like that analysis. And I keep forgetting that oatmeal cookie is a dessert and that we should be, like, considering it.
True. So Russell, where do you stand on O? What do you think the name of O will be?
I was completely wrong about Nutella. I was all in on Camp Nutella. Got that one wrong. I'm just not guessing Android names anymore. Take that, Hiroshi.
You give up?
I don't even. An oatmeal cookie, isn't that kind of a boring dessert?
No.
Is that like an Anzac biscuit?
There is a specific oatmeal cookie. Why? Oh, the people who make the circus animals, Ron.
The people who make the circus animals.
Oh, the circus animal cookies? What company is that?
Oh my gosh, why am I like completely blanking on it? They were a Bay Area-based company, actually. They make these thin oatmeal cookies. Yes, Mother's Cookies.
No, Nabisco Barnum's Animal Crackers, you mean, right?
No, Mother's Cookies. You're right.
Mother's Cookies?
Mother's Cookies. And they're these iced oatmeal. They're kind of hard, but they have like icing on top. They're very delicious. Right. That's what I imagine it is.
Yeah, okay. I've Googled this. So I kind of see what you mean.
Like, it's an oatmeal cookie with icing on it, not oatmeal raisin. Nobody. There we go. Iced oatmeal.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking of. Ooh, I want one.
I think it's going to be an oatmeal cookie or oatmeal raisin. I agree with you. I think that's what I'm putting my money on. I don't think it's going to be Orangina either. But
too much branding.
Too much branding. Well, unless it's Oreo. I mean, like, the fact that Textra and all these other kind of people are jumping the gun and saying Android Oreo, like, of course they can easily change it once they find out what it's going to be. But the thing is that Kit Kat happened. We can't ignore it. A license deal occurred, and they named Android Kit Kat.
A license deal occurred. It can happen again.
Fact. Well, we'll never know.
It's a fact.
So, anyway, well, thank you.
I was going to say, in the Nutella days, I had t-shirts and everything made up, Ron. Useless to me now. But
you
but
did? Wow. Oh, that's wow. Really unfortunate.
Yeah. That's
a commitment.
Yeah, last year, we turned up in Nutella t-shirts, and just they're like, nope, it's not Nutella. I'm like, oh.
Wow, that's egg on your face, man. That's embarrassing.
You should wear those though to Google I/O, just like, you know, wearing the T-shirts of the lost of the Super Bowl teams who lost.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because they print up the advanced ones, like the World Series winners, and then they turn up in Africa, like kids wearing them in Africa, right?
Or on eBay.
Well, thank you, Jackson, for thinking of us and sharing us that moment with us. And very cool to see friend of the show Hiroshi responding. That's awesome. So, but we'll stay tuned. And we should get the name soon, though. It should be like August where we get the name, right? Isn't that normally when it happens?
I think so. Yes. Yep. There are rumors. There are rumors circulating. None that are, you know,
confirmed.
Confirmed. None that, you know, have really made us feel honest within ourselves. But there are rumors. Yep.
All right. So we're going to take a pause and thank our first sponsor. We want to thank LegalZoom for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And listen, summertime is here. That means it's time for family vacations, sunscreen, and barbecues. One of my favorite times of year. But the most important thing to do this summer is prepare for your family's future with an estate plan from LegalZoom. National Make-A-Will Month is right around the corner, and that's the perfect time to make sure you're prepared for the future. It helps to know what your options are. LegalZoom's not a law firm, but their network of independent attorneys available in 50 states can work with you to make sure you're getting the right estate plan. Whether that includes a will or a living trust, they'll provide specific advice to address the needs of your family. Plus, during National Make-A-Will Month, LegalZoom is pulling a bunch of helpful resources together all in one place to make it a little easier to ensure your family and assets are protected. And keep listening. We're going to have more information on this in August. But let me tell you, in my personal experience, having this stuff planned out and documented is so important. My sister and my brother-in-law went through this to make sure that my nieces were protected and cared for legally. Everything, you got to get all that stuff documented, and LegalZoom is the way to do it. So stay tuned. More information on that in August. But now you can learn more today at LegalZoom.com. If you have a family or own anything you care about, you won't want to miss out. In the meantime, see what else LegalZoom.com has to offer and save more by entering AAA at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com and use the code AAA. And we thank LegalZoom for their support and helping us protect our future. Thank you, LegalZoom.
And now, right, Brian, if you wouldn't mind, to please lead us into the next segment of our lovely show.
We gotta work on our segues, Flo.
Yeah. Yes. Oh boy. We're both eager beavers. What can I say?
Yes, we are. All right, hardware. Let's do it.
Yeah, hardware. So I actually included this little one today kind of for you, Russell, because, you know, we've got a lot of viewership from down under, and you're down under, which, by the way, just if we think about how amazing technology is, that I have Russell from Australia and Ron from New York right here with me right now.
Pretty cool.
In real time. Pretty cool. But yeah, apparently July 20th is the day that Australia will be seeing Google Home and Google Wi-Fi.
AUS. We totally do that down here. That's the thing. I'm super excited about this. I'm obviously one of the tech crazy people that have imported both of these into the country illegally, apparently. My Google Home told me that when I turned it on. It's like, I'm not licensed for your Wi-Fi network.
Wait, really?
Buddy.
So it's illegal? Really? Does it work?
It works fine, but it just tells you, hey, I'm not licensed for your Wi-Fi spectrum. Like, turn it on at your own risk. I'm like, screw you, Google.
Is it like the audio equivalent of like a photo watermark or something, where it's just like every time you ask it something, it's like, I'm not supposed to be here, but here's the answer.
It's like that stupid thing. If you've got one of those cars, we have to press OK to that stupid warning message every single time you get it. It feels like that. Yeah. But it only bothers you once. I mean, the cool thing about this is to get a whole bunch of features. Like, my Android Home app forced me to set my language to US English. And I just want to be clear, US English is not a language, right? There's English, and then there's whatever you guys speak in America.
Wow.
Oh, wow. We're getting really regional here today.
So having to set your language to US English, that's just offensive. That's like, I didn't like it. So hopefully now when July 20th rolls around.
What's the difference between US English and regular English? Yeah. Is it just that we spell color correctly?
Aluminium, my friend. Aluminium.
Aluminium. There it is. Aluminium. Yeah, I can't even say it correctly.
Aluminium edges. Yeah. That's the difference.
Chamfered aluminium edges.
Does the Google Home say that you have to queue up, or do you have to get in line in the US English version, or online in the US English version?
Oh, this is interesting. Because the problem is I had to set my whole phone to US English for a while just to turn stuff on. So hopefully July 20th I can turn that back on. Back off? Back on? You know what I mean. I can go back to being Australian. It'll be great.
And is it really Google just that it adds OU to your words? Is that really just the difference? Like, I just... And what, it maybe it auto-corrects crisps?
It's my culture. Crisps. I do chips.
Oh, you guys call them chips?
Chips. Yeah. I work with an English guy here in the office, and he's like, how do you tell the difference between hot chips and like cold chips? Don't you ever get them confused? I'm like, you're never in a situation where you need to order like one or the other and someone's going to be confused. You just always say chips.
You're not? You because sometimes here you get burger. Anyway,
No.
Wow.
In fact, when
talk
I went
about
to America
cultural differences.
I had some fried chicken. Your fried chicken in America is amazing, by the way. I'm hoping to try and make it up to the Americans a bit here with this short spiel. But then the waitress asked me, did I want a biscuit with my chicken? And over here, that's like a cookie. Yes. I'm like, really?
No, you
that's
want
the Samsung emoji for cookie.
You want a buttermilk biscuit.
I'm like, I'm not going to argue, but this is good.
You're not going to get a digestive. You're going to get a nice, big, thick buttermilk biscuit that will just sit in your stomach for days.
I'd love a digestive.
It was good. It was very good. But yes, very excited about stuff coming to Australia because Google always seems to leave us out of things like in the first launch. And I get that some Canadians probably feel the same way and the people in the UK and Europe are like us too, but it's nice that stuff's coming here.
I feel like you guys get stuff pretty late because you're all the way down there.
It's
we're all the
so
way
far.
Up here. It's so far. I mean, there's so much space.
I mean, but it's funny because it is a point of frustration. Like whenever we talk about a new service, we talk about it and then inevitably there's a comment or somebody is like, we don't have it in Canada, you know, and every now and then you hear about it from Australia, right? You hear about it from the Australians and it's got to be, I mean, is it a combination of governmental kind of official approvals and like trade agreements and all this sort of stuff? Or is it more of a economic factor? Like there's not enough consumers to justify it, or a little bit of both, I guess.
That is awesome. Brian. I was trying to do that before, but I can't turn my head that way. Now, I reckon it's a bit of both, right? Because you've got to go through. I think you guys have whatever your certification is for the wireless standards. Australia has their own, so you've got to go through that with things like the Google Wi-Fi, also the Google Home because it connects to that. And you've got GST, which is like a tax that you have to pay, and you have to meet all the regulations. Like, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of boxes to tick, but at the same time, there's tons of companies that hire people just to tick those boxes and they do it all like flawlessly. Like I won't mention the A word here on this show, like the Apple, but they tend to launch their products worldwide with no problems. I did say it. Damn it. Hey Siri, for anyone out there that's listening with those devices. you know what I mean? Like it's just, I kind of wish Google would figure that out. Like I'm happy they're coming to Australia now, but some of these products were out like a year ago.
Well, maybe if you guys didn't have so many regulations.
Trying to protect your citizens, nanny state that we live in.
Also, it took me a long time to figure out whether that upside down hat trick was a Brian trick or if it was a TriCaster malfunction. That's where we're at today here, folks.
Jeez.
Ron, you want to talk about glass? That's a really big deal today.
The big hardware news and unknown when Google Glass 2 will be coming to Australia. But this is not news to us that Google had moved Glass out of the consumer products division into the X division and was focusing on the enterprise. But today, a big surprise happened as the official launch of Google Glass Enterprise was announced on the X blog on Medium, actually, of all places. And you know, there they explain how, you know, it's a little bit of the history of Google Glass and that the fact that Google Glass is now going to enter a new life in the world of the enterprise, the aforementioned enterprise, which is where also Jibe is taking Remix OS. And Wired actually has a great article as well that kind of delves into the next step for Glass or what they're calling, you know, Google Glass 2. And, you know, really it's kind of like, you know, in the time period between Google Glass being a punchline of a joke, right, and today, augmented reality has become something that actually is pretty hot in consumer. You know, like with Apple's announcement, they're the A word again for you, Russell. With Apple's announcement for their augmented reality kit for our AR kit for iOS, as well as some of the efforts that are going around with AR, you know, by Google and by other manufacturers. So Google Glass was really the original AR device. And now it's being repurposed for factories or for medical uses or for other, you know, kind of areas in the enterprise where there's actual practical application. So I guess the question is this enough to shake the negative stigma of Google Glass? Like, what do you think, Russell? What do you make of this enterprise announcement?
I think it's a good move. It makes a lot of sense because it the whole stigma of it is there's a camera there and you look kind of weird like wearing this. It just wasn't like a very natural thing. Whereas in Enterprise, no one cares. Like you're shuffling around like, you know, giant boxes, or you're doing some kind of medical examination, or you're trying to work with like 12 different pipes, or maybe even better, you're like a bomb disposal person. You're like, do I cut the blue wire, the red wire? And you got the little boop, 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 boop. And you're like, yeah, red wire done, boom. But I think that's the place for Google Glass to start off with. And I think the thing that the Snapchat, what do they call their things, lenses? Flashy things?
Spectacles.
The things that proved is like people are a lot more acceptive of like sunglasses that don't have like visible bits hanging off them, and they have little light up lights when they're recording. So I think if Google can work this kind of aspect into the enterprise, and then when the tech gets a bit better, if you can potentially just be wearing a, you know, a pair of sunglasses and then have like stuff appear, you know, just in your peripheral vision without having to have weird sort of attachments that come off them, that could be like a cool future product.
Well, it makes me think of Microsoft HoloLens too, which hasn't gotten any real negative stigma despite looking completely ridiculous. But Florence, I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say that I think that the Google Glass is going to remain very, very industrial through its use in the enterprise and in other sort of like sects of work. And then, like Russell was saying, when it does come to the consumer, I think it's going to be a little more fancy in a prettier package. Because maybe Google Glass wasn't, even with the whole Diane von Furstenberg thing that they tried to do many years ago, it wasn't really there wasn't something mainstream about it. And tech that's gone mainstream is because it was just sort of sold in this, it was marketed maybe in a more mainstream manner.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely agree.
So we'll see. I mean, like, I think some of the use cases that the Wired story shared, you know, are plausible use cases, and it can, if it can find a home. I think the technology was good enough. The idea is good enough. It just kind of got a little out of hand from a marketing standpoint.
It got out of hand because there, because people were making it out of hand, because there was all this stuff going on in San Francisco with people getting punched, and there was all this, you know, this social stigma against wearing this thing on your face. But we're past that now. And right. I mean, would we have been past that though if it weren't for that first session, that first launch of Google Glass? Like, would we be past it by now? I mean, somebody had to launch it off somewhere.
You go, Ron. Sorry.
No, after you, Russell. After you.
I was going to say we're kind of in the same place with VR at the moment. Like, it is very socially unacceptable to put a VR headset on your face, like on a plane or whatever. There's a few people that do it, I understand, but it's really weird to be like, I'm just going to cover my entire face and experience like a different world. But I have a feeling if enough people do it, if enough manufacturers, you know, make little tweaks to it, like eventually they're going to come out with something that, you know, people love, that just has some kind of utility that's amazing, that actually looks good as well. And people will be like, yeah, I can't believe I ever lived my life without Google. I can't think of a cool name.
Hey, standalone VR headset that's coming this autumn.
Yeah.
We never know. Maybe it's going to take off. People are going to use that on the plane to watch Netflix in theater mode.
I have to know, would either of you do that? If it was an amazing experience, if you actually felt like you're sitting in front of like a 100-inch TV or whatever, would you do it on a plane?
I would do it on the plane, yes. If it meant that I could just, you know, kick everyone out of my periphery and just like be able to just... Because sometimes it's very hard to sleep on a plane when you've got a lot of yapping around you and you got lights coming from all, you know?
And that's really the thing, is that I would do it on a plane, but the problem is that I fall asleep as soon as the door shuts on the plane, so it's really no
so
use for me
lucky.
At all.
I'm so jealous about that because I cannot do that at all. Another thing I'm sort of wondering if people are going to love is this potential new, or I guess this supposedly announced new Nokia 8 flagship. Yes, I know we've been kind of talking about Nokia releasing these low-end phones, and now we're talking about Nokia releasing like a phone that's actually supposed to compete with the other phones we talk about on this show on a constant basis. This is the Nokia 8, as leaked by VentureBeat and a few other places on the internet. It's running Android 7.1.1, has a 5.3-inch QHD display, Snapdragon 835 processor, so it's there on par with sort of the rest of the league out there, as well as 4 or 6 gigs of RAM. We're not entirely sure yet. Also, apparently rumored to have a pair of 13-megapixel Carl Zeiss cameras on the back, so that'll be interesting. We should be seeing this sort of pop up around July 31st, apparently. There is going to be an event announcing this. And even though we kind of heard about this stuff in May, it's only now that we're sort of saying that maybe it's going to be priced around the $600 mark. I don't know. Ron, do you get excited about a Nokia phone? I mean, you were just getting excited about the Essential phone. Is there any excitement for an actual, like, Nokia flagship?
No, because it's not, I mean, it is Nokia, but it's not Nokia. It's not, the sentimental connection to Nokia we once felt is gone, right? As the brand has been sold numerous times over the past 10 years. To me, this is no different than the BlackBerry launch. You know, like, this is a large hill to climb to make it something I'm excited about.
Wait. So the BlackBerry Priv or the BlackBerry Key One? Because those
any of the any
different.
Of the Black. Well, you true, think- but any of them. I mean, the Priv was a joke, and the more recent one. What was it called? The Pre One, whatever it is. The Key One. That's what it is, right? That seems to be a good phone. That after earlier this year, no one has talked about.
It's a niche phone for sure. I don't know, Russell. Yeah. What is Nokia like down under?
We used to have an amazing relationship with Nokia when they were making the 3310 and standout phones like that, but I feel like that's kind of in the distant past now. Like, I still have a soft spot when I see that logo, but deep down I know, like Ron says, some companies just bought the rights to the name. They're making kind of generic-ish looking phones and sticking the name on them. I'm kind of interested by the Carl Zeiss lens thing, but I think unless they start doing something super unique, like, why should I care? Like, they've just taken like a brand and stuck it on there, and they're like, look, it's a Nokia. And you're like, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's the thing, that they're not doing what Essential is doing, or what Nexbit did, or what OnePlus did, or what anything, like, doing, like Russell totally nailed it, doing something interesting that makes me care about it. It's just they think they can just slap the brand name on it and it'll be something that we're excited about because we remembered that little Nokia phone we had in 2003.
Well,
yeah,
I'm
even
just...
Sorry, Clay, you go. My bad.
I'm laughing at myself and interrupting everybody today because I should be looking at the monitors. Anyway, Nokia.
Are you excited, Flo?
I am not. I wanted to ask you guys what you thought about this because as I was looking for news today, I just saw all this stuff about this Nokia 8 just kind of pop up in the RSS feeds, and I'm extremely confused where this is coming from. Is this an international excitement over the reprise of this lineup, or is this an American excitement over the reprise of this lineup, or is this just like a fan base just desperately clinging on to what's left of a brand that was once just very much heralded? What do you guys think?
I think it's sentimentality for a brand. I think that's all it is.
I agree, and I think this is a good time for us to jump into our next email, actually. So this one, we've got an email. Thank you guys so much for sending us your emails, by the way. We very much appreciate it. This one is from Jack from Scotland, a different part of the world than our two TVs that we have here today. In episode 325, I was complaining, that's me, Flo, that I couldn't skip tracks while driving and that I had to touch my phone to do this. Well, Jack suggests I get a Satechi Bluetooth button from Amazon, which allows just that. It has a play, pause, volume, and forward and rewind buttons. It also allows Jack to connect the phone to the car stereo using a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack and control it with the Bluetooth button. The button can also be enabled to allow smart lock on the phone, which is awesome because that's what you want when you walk in. You want it to be unlocked. It's expensive for what it is, but it might be worth a mention on the show, and for that reason it's exactly why we're mentioning it now. So thank you, Jack, for the suggestion. We also got an email from Sam suggesting the Android Auto app, which is absolutely the best suggestion, the best thing that I should be doing, and for that reason alone, I think I'm going to reinstall Android Auto this weekend and get on that because I miss that convenience. And of course, you can also yell at it. Okay, Google.
True. I thought this was very interesting for your complaining about being able to control Spotify while driving. Interesting timing because here in New York State, where I am right now in New York City, effective July 23rd is a brand new distracted driving law that specifies no handheld cell phone use while driving, even when stopped in traffic or at a traffic light. And this includes all devices, even tablets, laptops, and video games. No typing messages or accessing information. No watching videos or using cameras. And they say that you can use your device if you're hands-free and start to use it with a single touch or swipe of the finger. if you're parked or out of flow of traffic or you're contacting emergency services. And there, it's going to be a fine starting at $136, second offense $234, and they're reporting it to your insurance company.
So you guys are just now getting this in New York.
Yes.
That's interesting, because I believe, if I am not mistaken, we already have it in California. So really, I
should I had no
not
idea.
Be, oh. I should not be shuffling. It's...
So, I just want to be clear, you can still use the daydream as long as you don't touch the controller, yeah? You can put that on your face and drive
around.
Yeah,
you put it on your face and then you let the car drive you, because see, here in California, everybody drives a Tesla. Just kidding. Oh. No, we don't.
Come on, Flo. You've got three Teslas, surely. I will say the Android Auto Tap app is really cool if you haven't tried it. If you don't want to buy a brand new car or fit like a stereo like I did to mine, and you just want a really big interface where you can tap stuff on, like, just download the Android Auto app, just launch it. Pretty much all music apps and podcasting apps, I don't know, like, support it. And then you get the big buttons with the, you know, just a nice sort of touch-friendly interface. Like,
and
when you're
all
driving
the voice
the car.
Control, which is what I too. Should be using.
Yes. All right. Let's thank our next sponsor. We want to thank Rocket Mortgage for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And so listen, if you had the experience of buying a house, you probably know this, that the mortgage experience wasn't keeping up with the times. It was dated and it needed a client-focused technological revolution. And that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. It's simple, allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. And best of all, it's convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. And of course, it's powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. Based on your income, assets, and credit, Rocket Mortgage can analyze all of the home loan options for you that you qualify for and find the one that's just right for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So to get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/android. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. And if you're going to buy a house, definitely check out Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Quicken Loans makes it that much easier. Thank you for supporting this episode of All About Android. All right, that said, let's go into the apps. All right, so password managers have become a crucial part of anybody's digital experience, their digital life, that sort of thing, at least for me. I recently, a couple of months ago, got my girlfriend to sign up for LastPass as well, which is my password manager of choice. And really excited to see an update today from LastPass that's announcing LastPass Families. That allows families to kind of share their password management system. It allows unlimited sharing with your family. Right, so you can share and store information with others. They organize folders and share login credentials for household bills with your significant other, while sharing entertainment sites with the whole family and keeps personal sites in a private vault. It also has got a key family backup plan, which, God forbid, anything happens to anybody in your household, it makes it easier for family members to access to your passwords and things like that. This is something that often keeps me up at night, where, God forbid, I get hit by a bus, how will my family be able to get into my bank stuff and all that sort of thing? So LastPass Family seems like a natural extension of LastPass. So this is pretty cool to see. Are you guys using password managers? If so, are you on LastPass?
No.
Ooh.
My password manager is Google Chrome, which I realize is...
Smart lock. I mean, that's...
It has everything. It says, hey, do you want me to sort this password for you? And I go, yes, absolutely. Please do that. And then I have the password on every single machine that I have Chrome on, which is every single machine.
Yeah, I have one password. So very similar to LastPass. The weird part is they've done this, I think they call it Teams, not Families, although they might have a Families thing as well. They do pretty much the same sort of thing, like server side, syncing with all your other sort of significant others and people you care about. But the thing I find really weird about it is, for some reason, I don't trust Google with all my passwords. Like, I trust them with every single other bit of information. I don't want to give all my passwords to 1Password or LastPass for them to store on their servers. And I know there's a whole layer of security that goes into it. Like, I still use the manual sort of syncing option where you can drop your encrypted file into something like Dropbox and then sort of sync it around like that. But the problem is 1Password's pretty much come out and said, like, we're not ever supporting the multiple vault thing on Android. So I can get, I have a family vault, I have like a work vault, I have like some other stuff that we do here at work. So I've got maybe 5 different vaults where I store my passwords, and I can sync them to my iOS device, I can sync them to my Mac, but I can't sync them to my Android phone. It is really, really annoying. So I'm starting to look at something like LastPass and maybe even the 1Password Teams. I can't get over that hump of just giving all your passwords to someone else to store on a server. I don't know. You've obviously like jumped that hurdle, Ron, and you're not too worried.
I just went. Life's too short, man. I just went with it. It's. I mean, I'm paying. I paid a yearly or a month. I'm paying for something. I forget what the how often you pay to LastPass for LastPass Premium. It solved a problem, you know, like, you know, with all the password changes and having to not use a previous password and all that sort of stuff with the inane, like, especially Apple of all, like, the number of times I've changed my Apple iTunes password, I can't remember what variation of my password I'm using or whatever. It just takes that all away. That's a bit of data I don't need to remember anymore. I just need to know my master password and I can log in and get to everything. That's worth the price. And, you know, if they get hacked or if God forbid something happens, oh well. You know, like I don't know what I can do. Like it reminds me of like the kind of the, you know, like the arguments I get in with my mother about going out. At night, and she's like, "Oh, well, you get hit by a car." It's like, right, but if I stay home, I'm not going to experience the world. So, like, you got to take that risk. So, you know, I'd rather if something solves a problem for me and makes it easier to use my devices and my computer, then I'm fine with it. So that I'm glad Jason made me get on LastPass. It was a good move. So,
yeah, I think I'm slowly coming around to the same point of view because. The alternative where you just have like one or two or three passwords that you use everywhere is we know it's terrible. Like one of your accounts get hacked on some site you didn't really care about and suddenly they have a login to like 12 other sites that you're also part of. That happened to me. Like I had my Minecraft account hacked many years ago by some kid in Russia who bought it off like a website. That whole story. Like, I'm not getting in contact with him and I'm like, can I have it back please? Like I really want it. And I even bought the kid worst. Like his own Minecraft thing. I'm like, here you go. Have your own account, just give my account back. But the thing is, like, I wasn't using a password manager at the time, and now I do. And I guess the utility of it and the valuableness of it, if that's a word, is way higher than the potential security risk of, yeah, them getting hacked. And I know LastPass has been hacked once or twice in the past. Like, yeah. I don't know how serious it was and how much was compromised, but I guess that's the world we live in. You've got to make the trade-off.
Right.
That is the world we live in. That's why... It's easier to get by with your friends, and the easiest way to stay in contact with your friends is through Allo, which actually received an update this week. So I don't know if you guys checked your Allo this morning, because I did, because I have it installed. And I saw that I had an update, and the update includes a couple of little things. Not the one feature that we want, but we'll get to that in just a second. So little things include an audio clip player with a scrubber. So if you just want to get to like the crux of the message that your friend sent you, support for notification channels in Android O, which is going to be very useful for those of us who will be transitioning on day one. Enhanced image editor, which lets you do more fun things with the Allo images that you're sending over, and a shared with Allo tagline, because if there's one thing that this world needs to know is that you are using Allo. Now, we do all know that the desktop client is coming, and as Android Police has mentioned in its teardown of the app, is that even with a timeline of a few more weeks, there's nothing particularly revolutionary sort of hiding in the code, but there is a little bit there. For instance, there is an address for the web client, which will apparently be allo.google.com/web, which is very exciting for those of us who would like that cross-platform capability. There's nothing there, that address right now, though, so don't try and go there and try and see what's there. And also, judging by a reference to QR codes, it seems plausible that we're going to be able to hook up with each other with QR codes very easily. So I don't know. Gentlemen, now, Ron, you already use Allo with me because you're the best. But Russell, would this be enough to get you to use Allo? Just a little more, you know, push for that desktop client? A little more?
I got to say, a desktop client for me is huge. Like, I can't live without that. Like, the Hangouts window that I have at the bottom of, like, inbox is... It's not a great user interface, but I just love it because you can type so much faster on a keyboard and get sort of thoughts back to your friends and family like so much quicker. And the fact that Allo doesn't have a desktop app is one of the biggest reasons like I haven't touched it. Will that get me to use Allo? That's a hard question because you have to convert all your friends as well. And if your friends are on Facebook Messenger or Hangouts or iMessage, you know, God forbid, then I can't really see them, me sending them a message, be like, hey, check out these new features of Allo. Come and join me. You know, we're going to have so much fun. Like, my friends are just not that cool. I don't think they'll come for the ride.
Well, but the thing is that, like, I'm right there with you, Russell. If Allo had launched the desktop manager from day one, I would have forced the migration of everybody that I talked to on WhatsApp over to Allo. But because Allo launched feature deficient, it made it not something you wanted to get excited about. And the things that it had, like being able to change the size of the font and all this sort of stuff, became just kind of like, okay, whatever. There's no desktop. I can't talk to everyone. Like the app has got to be enough to make you want to get other people to use it to evangelize. And Allo has never been there, unfortunately. It's just weird. And meanwhile, I know we don't have this in the story, but in the rundown, but I saw right before the show started, Duo crossed the 100 million download mark. Who's using Duo?
Well, you're not, Ron, because I tried to Duo you today to talk about the show, and it said that I had to send you a request to install Duo.
I don't even have Duo on my – it archived it from the next bit. Robin, there, Brian, I gave you a link to a story there about it. Duo hit 100 million downloads, and it doubled its user base in the last 2 months.
Where are these users?
It's fascinating. I don't know.
Duo is a cool app, though. Like, if you actually need to video message with people, like, super simply, like, it's useful for that. I'd love to see their actual monthly active users, though. We know in the tech world, like, downloads is one thing, but how many people are actually using your app? Like, if 100 million people downloaded it and, like, 10,000 people use it a day, that's two very different numbers.
So and so then the question from when they announced Allo and Duo a year ago is that why are they separate apps?
Yes.
Right? Like, why not just make Allo and Duo one app and kill Skype and kill WhatsApp at the same time and do it right and do it well and all that sort of, I don't know.
Can you kill Skype?
Find me one person who likes using Skype, and I have a couple of bridges here in New York I could sell you. We're using it. Do we like it?
I don't know, Brian.
Brian loves it.
I don't know.
Guys, there's a couple of other, just really quick, a couple other little Easter eggs coming to Allo, just because I'm going to continue to sell you all on Allo as often as I possibly can. There's supposedly evidence of message translation, which is awesome if you think about it. Camera effects. So we're going to get into maybe a little snappy chat territory there. And data usage log to let you know how much data is going out and how much data you're pulling in.
All right.
Do okay with that data.
I'm so excited by those camera filter things. You have to have those everywhere, don't you? If I can't look like a puppy,
you have
dog,
to have a camera
have
filter. And even Facebook has camera filters now. And now I see people posting Facebook filters on Instagram stories and posting Instagram stories on Snapchat. It's haywire out there, y'all.
It's the Snapchatification of our world. I mean, like, I probably would be more upset about the emojiification of our world, but the Snapchatification of our world has just made things that the filters. I see people I respect with dog ears. And,
you know what, Ron?
And like, and, you know, like, and it's like, oh, come on, people. You're better than this. Anyway.
I have to say, just the snapification, just very quickly, very funny to say that considering their IPO. Anyway, moving on.
I know. Yes, exactly. All right. We got one more email that was also related to last week's episode. Howard Harris wrote in, and I was talking last week about, and Flo, you were in it as well, too, mm-hmm. still using YouTube TV. And we're talking about the commercial skipping problem. And Howard says, I'm not sure if this will work with YouTube TV, but when I use some apps like CBS through my Chromecast, I can skip the commercials. All I do is say, hey, G. I don't want to trigger it for anybody. But hey, G, skip 2 minutes. The first time I have to add the name of your Chromecast. And then boom, suddenly a video stream with commercials has none. So far, it's worked on all services that I've tried it on. So that's an interesting little life hack there and a way to, you know, using Chromecast and Google Assistant to skip 2 minutes in what you're watching. I haven't tried it, but I'm going to try it. I also got a lot of people telling me that there was skip commercial buttons on YouTube TV that they saw that I haven't been seeing. I got to play with it via the Chromecast version or the app versus the desktop and things like that. But yeah, so it sounds like there are ways to get around the commercials on YouTube TV. So very interesting.
Hey, Ron.
Yes.
Do you use your Google Home to actually control the playback of your TV?
I have not, for several reasons. One, I've been too busy to try to set it all up.
Same.
And two, you can't really see here, but the Google Home lives on a shelf directly above my air conditioner. And when the air conditioner is blowing, I have to yell very loudly for because to hear it through the noise of the air conditioner. And that's because it's ungodly hot here in New York right now because it's July.
It is here too.
Yeah. So I've really just kind of minimized the Google Home use to turning the lights on and off and then doing the morning briefing and then and asking what the weather is. So anyway, all right. So our last sponsor, and we want to thank them for their support of All About Android, is FreshBooks. This episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. And FreshBooks' all-new version of their cloud accounting software will make running your business easy, fast, and secure. Literally, just earlier today, I was thinking, you know, I really need a solution for my small business accounting, and FreshBooks might be the answer. Because the FreshBooks dashboard gives you quick access to your spending, outstanding balances, total profit, and accounting reports like sales tax summary and profit and loss. They've got this awesome new time tracking features that make it easy to bill for time by client and by specific projects. You start a timer directly from the FreshBooks mobile app for Android, and you can always have an accurate time log of the time that you worked. When it comes time to create an invoice, you'll know what you did and when you did it. You can create professional-looking invoices on the go. You can send your client an invoice right from their office using the FreshBooks mobile app on your Android device and get paid by the time you get home. With FreshBooks Payments, your customer can pay straight from their invoice. Invoicing clients online will help you get paid an average of 11 days faster. And that's true. I've seen that actually work. See what invoices have been sent, viewed, and paid, as well as outstanding invoices. And best of all, say goodbye to paper receipts. Picking up the tab for a client lunch or buying supplies to start a new project? Snap a picture of the receipt and capture your expense in seconds. FreshBooks is adding new features and improvements to their platform on a weekly basis. You can send invoices to multiple people in an organization by adding them as secondary contacts. You can add unbilled time to an existing invoice instead of creating a new one, and get a detailed overview of client payments with the new Payments Collected report. It's no wonder they were included in Forbes' Small Giants list for 2017. So try it for free for 30 days at FreshBooks.com/AAA and enter All About Android in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Again, that's go to FreshBooks.com/AAA and make sure you enter All About Android in the section that asks How Did You Hear About Us. We thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode of All About Android and helping our businesses run smoothly. Thank you, FreshBooks. Okay, so that, you know, we've done three ads, we've done apps, we've done hardware. It means it's time, there's only one thing that's left to do. It's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Let's All right, it's time. See.
Go for it, Flo.
No, I was just gonna, let's look at last week's
arena notes, the score for the arena, episode 325. It looks as if Jason, who is not here, came in first with Run P, which I knew was gonna happen.
What?
63% of the vote. Flo, you came in second with Awesome Icons with 25% of the vote, and I came in last with Letter Run with 12% of the vote. And so what that means as far as the standings go is that I'm still sitting pretty in first place with 77 points, thankfully, luckily. Jason is in second with 73 points. The guests, whom Russell will be representing tonight, have 68 points. And Florence, you are still in last, but only by 1 point now with 67 points.
Well, at least it's just 1 point. But I'm 10 points below you, which is an unfortunate... I mean,
yes. It's just 6-2 wins. All you got to do is win twice and me and I come in last. Or right, I might miss next week. I'm iffy next week, so that could be a good chance to catch up.
Easy, Russell. You're also going to have to hold it down for the guests today. So I hope you brought a good app into the arena.
I totally brought my A game. Didn't tank this at all, so that Flo could win.
Okay,
I'm here to fly.
Well, so since I came in last, I need to go first. So luckily enough, Flo has installed my app on her phone.
Yes, I have.
And it's following the theme of the episode. Yesterday was World Emoji Day. Stumbled upon this app called Emojily, which basically allows you to create your own emojis, which is fantastic. Who would have thought in 2017 that I would be here with an emoji app? But yet, this is what we've come to. So with Emojily, what you can do is, as Flo is showing you, you can choose from all – basically, it's broken the elements that make emoji down into their core kind of thing. Well, back up, Flo. You're going too fast. Back up again, please. When you hit the X in the upper left-hand corner.
There we go.
There you go. Okay, so when you open up the app – You have the option to create a new one or to get a random emoji or go to their store. So just so you know, there are a lot of in-app purchases in this app. What they've done is they've taken the various different elements and they've added little packs. So if you want them, you can buy to unlock them. But there's still a bunch of stuff in here for free. So if you tap the new emoji, that will give you to the point where you can choose the circle or the base, right? So you've got the standard emoji. You've got the one with that blushes. You can do the blue fade into yellow. Let's do that one. This kind of sickly one, right? And so then along the bottom, you've got a little menu there, and you can choose the next one, which is the eyes. And now you can choose from all the various different eyes, right? So let's choose the crying one, since I'm crying here talking about emojis.
Aww.
Right? And now what you can do is you can pinch and zoom the eyes and move them around. So maybe you don't want them just kind of standard. You can make them big, you can make them small, you can tilt them, you've got a full control over that. And then so then you can tap through and you can get to the eyebrows there on the bottom. You can choose your eyebrows. And then you can choose a mouth. Right. So basically it's all the various elements that make emoji all broken apart so that you can customize and make your own emoji, which is really cool. So you get the mouths, you got the facial hair kind of options, and then you've got some hands. So remember I was saying how the new Android O emoji changed the hugging hands? I could just make my own emoji and go back and use it if I want to. And then of course the last one is you can add hats and there you go. Clapping, and you can give them a little hat. There you go. And now their flow is made. Yep. And so once you've made it, you can hit the icon to the lower left of the emoji to save it, or you can just hit the share button and you could share it. Now, it doesn't actually save it as a Unicode, you know, kind of emoji. It's really just kind of like a sticker, like Bitmoji. But still, it gives you a certain level of creativity, which is very cool. And so now if you go back to the main menu, if you hit the random, it will just take all the stuff you have and make a random emoji, which sometimes can be fun. There's a green emoji with a Deadpool hat. It really likes that Deadpool hat. But yeah,
this one's good.
Yeah, that's a good one. So you can save that. So, and then finally, if you go back to the main menu and hit shop, you could see all the different packs that they have that you can unlock for, you know, reasonable prices, anywhere from, you know, 99 cents, or you can get them all for just $4.99. So if you really want everything, you can just pay $5 and get it all there, and then unlock some within there. And then finally, I believe on Android, it allows you to make this a keyboard.
Yes.
So yeah, it does. Yeah. So if you hit keyboard, you can add this the same way you would enable any other keyboard so that you can access the emojis that you've created. So as you're texting and that sort of thing, you can say, you know, hey, I want to use my weird green face emoji that I made. And so there it is. So, yeah. So Emojily, there you go. Get creative with your emojis. Don't use the emojis the man says you have to use. Make your own.
It's true.
Yep. So it's free in the Google Play Store. There you go.
There are no blobs though.
No blobs. No blobs. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised that they add a blob pack that lets you make blob emojis. I would not be surprised by that. So
anyway. I'm next. Russell's next. I think I'm next.
Let's have you go next. There you go.
I'm next. So. All right. I'll go next. So I have recently transitioned over to, I suppose you could say, starting my own business where, you know, I'm not getting paid on a regular basis. And so who knows, maybe in the future I might need somebody to help me with a little bit of cash just to ensure that I'm not overdrafting my bills. Well, that's where Dave Saves comes in. And actually, before we go down, actually, sorry, Brian, come back to me. So the thing about this app is that it will show you how much money you have in the bank. And so I need to be very careful and to hide this. And I realize this is a finicky way to show how much to show an app, but Brian, bear with me here and forgive me. There you go.
Can you do screenshots maybe or from the Play Store? Or? All right.
Yeah, we could do screenshots, but basically this app shows you how much you've been spending and where you've been spending. It basically aggregates your information from your bank account. And Dave here, this little teddy bear guy, tells you if your bank account is doing okay or not. Now, I like it because I don't have to do all that tapping in to log in to my bank account to see like what's going on. I can just open up Dave, and Dave tells me, and he's very up to date. And you'll see down here in the corner of the interface on the main page, it'll tell you the last time it was updated. This was updated an hour ago. You can also, if you just really need Dave's help, you can ask for an advance before payday so that Dave can loan you up to $75 that you will pay Dave back next time you get paid. So Dave will wait for you to get paid before you pay back. Now, I haven't borrowed any money from Shady Dave. I just use Dave right now to figure out how I'm doing in my bank account. And I also like Dave because he will send me a text message when I'm kind of teetering on the edge there. So I like Dave. Dave, he helps me out.
Is Dave like a loan shark? Is it what happens if you don't
Dave
pay him back?
Like, Dave is like a loan shark. He's a loan shark that lives inside of an app.
Listen, Florence, you got a real nice phone here. It'd be a real shame if something happened to it.
It would. And also, just so you know, if you are interested in Dave, Dave Saves is what he's called in the Google Play Store. You will have to hook up your bank account with your routing number and all that. But you know what? Dave helps you out. When you need a little money at the end of the month, maybe you're about to overdraft, let Dave help you. Dave will look at all of your information and make sure that you are not overdrafting and incurring those fees. Also, maybe you should think about your spending habits if you're having problems with that. But if you don't need it for that reason, Dave is just a great way to even Mark Cuban has spoken about Dave Saves. There you go. Dave Saves. It's free in the App Store. Play Store, not the App Store. That's for iTunes. We don't want that. Wrong show. Russell?
I'm just so impressed by Dave. I can't go on.
He gives you money if you need it.
Wait, does he give you actual money?
He gives you actual money. He fronts you money, puts it in your bank account for you.
Is there some scam we can run here? I just asked Dave for money once and then uninstall him.
Is it your money or is it different money?
It's different money. It's like getting money from a, so like you're borrowing money.
What happens if you don't pay Dave. It back?
Well, I haven't.
Dave comes and breaks your thing.
Wait a minute. How is that even legal?
You just get a knock at the door. Hello.
Listen, Dave. Mark Cuban was behind it, okay?
Was this on Shark Tank?
It's possible it was. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you I like Dave Saves. So I've been in the green. I've been okay. I've been up on my finances. So
that's crazy. I thought it was putting your money away and then you're like, I need a little more.
This actually loans you up to $75 if you need it to ensure that you make it through until your next paycheck. Now, I have not used it, but I like knowing the help is there if I need it.
I just want to know what happens if you don't pay it back. I could borrow some money
and not pay it back, but I don't want to like have
That's
my credit
crazy.
Score.
So advance some of your next paycheck at 0% interest. That's
up to $75. Yes.
That's so weird.
That's why I was very intrigued by it, because I was like, "Oh, this is like."
But you don't have a paycheck. I mean, you get paid for work,
That's harsh.
No, but it's if you're a freelancer, you don't have a steady paycheck coming in.
It's true, but he will look at my spending and kind of let me know where I am if I'm like teetering below, say $100. Which sometimes happens, you know, and then I'll get the text message and it'll let me know, hey, your bank is kind of like, you know, maybe you want to put some money in there. Maybe you want to borrow some money from me, huh?
Oh, here we go. I'm looking in their FAQs on their website. And here, Brian, I don't know if we want to share it with everyone, but
it's going very in-depth in this app.
How do I pay Dave back? It says with default automatic payments, you don't even have to think about it. So it's just going to wait till you get your money and take it.
Just waits until you get your money and then it takes it because it was helping you get to that end. So you do have to pay it back. The minute your money goes into the bank account, it will snatch it back. So it's basically like it's giving you money, but it's not going to charge you that money until it knows you have money in the bank again.
That's crazy.
So if you need a little help, maybe your friend doesn't want to give you some money.
Oh, my God. And so they have a tipping mechanism, too. I went into the FAQ under This Sounds Too Good to Be True, And it says, I know it sounds too good to be true, but we think people are tired of being taken advantage of by banks, that we can support our business almost entirely off of user donations. Tipping us helps us provide 0% interest advances to you and the rest of the Dave community. We also donate a tree for every percentage of your tip.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. They donate a tree, which I was like, oh, I'm all about donating trees. So
this is crazy.
So that's Dave. He saves.
I'm sorry. Anyway, all right, Dave. So I've learned about Dave. Saves. There we go.
Russell, right. What did you bring to the App Arena today?
That is so cool, Flo. I really don't know how to follow that up. I'm going to try, though. My app's a little bit more pedestrian, but it's called TV Showtime, TV Time, I think it's actually been rebranded to. So what you do is, like any TV shows that you watch, whether they be on Netflix or falling off the back of a truck, perhaps, you know, that you download your Linux ISOs from, you know, the same truck that drives around your neighborhood, streaming services, all that kind of thing. You just put them all in there. You say, like, I'm a fan of this show, this show, this show. And then it will actually let you track them. It'll say, hey, the next episode of the greatest Australian TV show ever made, Utopia, I believe it's called Dreamland in the US. It's available in Netflix. Season 3 premieres, and it tells you it's coming out like tomorrow. It gives you a watch list. So you can go in there and you can say, what shows do I have to watch? And then let's say like Game of Thrones is coming up, for example, you can just swipe from right to left over it.
I
think this is only once you subscribe, like weirdly enough.
This thing.
Other way.
Hides it though. Want to hide him.
Other way.
No, I can't swipe that way.
So once you subscribe to a show, you can say, I've watched this particular episode. And it'll actually keep track. So, for example, if you've just discovered a brand new TV show that has like 5 seasons and you want to know, like, where am I up to, like, in this particular show if I want to grab, like, the next set, you just swipe through them as you watch them. It's quite cool. It gives you little badges and things when you get to certain places. It's basically just a way to track, like, where am I up to in a particular TV show, what TV shows have I watched, and when's the next season coming out. Ooh. Yeah, exactly.
There we go.
Flo's just watched all the Stranger Things. Well done, Flo. And then... I don't use this feature that much, but you can also go in and after a particular show's aired, people leave their comments in there and funny GIFs and whatever else. So you can do that sort of thing as well. I don't use that particular part of it because it's not super interesting to me, but it's just a really solid app for tracking TV shows. There it is. See that? So now if you see, I've watched that one, and then it'll show you the next episode of that
show.
Well,
I've watched them all, so really you need to give me more credit.
And then I think when you get to the end of a season, it gives you like a binge watch badge and all these other sort of things.
Oh,
it congratulates you every now and again.
So earlier when I was setting up this app, this is very unfortunate it's not showing, but it was giving me personal recommendations, and I think the number one recommendation, and I don't know, Russell, if you know this show, is The Only Way is Essex.
The what?
Never mind. It's an English show. It's an English reality TV. Never mind. But that was what was suggested to me, that I watch The Only Way is Essex.
All right.
Yeah.
So cool. That is TV Time.
Yes. And so you can vote for TV Time or Dave Saves or Emojily by going and voting in the poll. Different URL this time. So everyone take note here because Jason's not here and I couldn't use the fancy Twit URL shortener. We're back to Bitly. But a little different than usual. So it's bit.ly/allaboutandroid326. So the full show name, it's bit.ly/allaboutandroid326. Because some smart aleck already used all of our Bitly names. So who did Brian vote for? I missed it.
Brian voted for Dave Saves because Brian needs a payday advance next week.
I need that $75.
He needs that $75. To make sure he can pay his bills.
I wonder if you could just sign up for Dave, get the $75, and then I guess they have all your information so they could chase you down. But yes, like, you just make a bunch of different accounts and make a bunch of microloans and then run to Mexico.
You should try it, Ron. Try and see if it works.
Maybe not. All right. We did it, Flo.
We did it. Thank you guys for tuning in today to a Jason Les show. But no worries. He will be back next week. And so will Ron and I. Unfortunately, Russell will not. But Russell, thank you so much for being here today. Would you like to tell people where they can find you in the world, besides on the Material Podcast with me every week?
Free plug. Material Podcast comes out later this week. But they can find me at on Twitter, at Rusty Shelf. They can find the company I work for, shiftyjelly.com. They can find, obviously, materialrelay.fm/material. It's all down the bottom there if you're watching the video. They can also find me on a TV next to Flo, which is really cool if you happen to be in the Twit studio right this second.
There you are. Ron, I'm sorry I didn't understand earlier what you were talking about looking at the TV, okay, no but problem. Now I'm looking at you.
No problem. It's a little nuanced. It's all good. But yeah, so as always, you can go to Twitter and follow me at RonXO, and you can check out my other podcasts. Go to iFanboy.com. We're talking about comic books and comic book TV movies and TV shows, and we just talked about Spider-Man Homecoming. You can go check that out at iFanboy.com. Great Spider-Man movie. Strongly recommend it. And you can go to my other podcast, The Damn Fine Podcast, at DamnFinePodcast.com, where me and Tom Merritt are reacting to the new Twin Peaks episodes that air every Sunday. Had a great show this past weekend with a good friend of mine, Rick Remender, a comic book writer. And we got a returning guest, Gabriel Hardman, another comic book artist, but also a movie storyboard artist. He actually has done a lot of the movie storyboards for Christopher Nolan films, like he did all the Batman movies and things like that. So he's got a real good eye for cinema and David Lynch. So if you're into David Lynch and Twin Peaks, go to DamnFinePodcast.com.
Brian, I have two questions for you. One, where can people find you? And two, are you as jealous as me of all the cool people Ron knows?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. But the thing that I'm glad is that I can add myself to the list of friends of the show of Damn Fine Podcast. So
for sure.
It's almost like I'm part of the list, the cool list of all the people that Ron knows. But
and listen, we've got 8 episodes to go, Brian. You're going to get tapped again. So stay tuned. So
yeah. Things are. I mean, no spoilers, obviously, but things are ramping up. I'm starting to really enjoy where things are going right now. So, but otherwise, what I do here at the Twit Network, I do a few segments for Screensavers here and there. Know How with Padre and Nathan Olivares Giles. We've pre-recorded a bunch of stuff because Padre's gone right now, but we have some cool things coming in the pipeline. Like a LED clock that you can 3D print and design yourself, and then some things that me and Nate came up with pretty spontaneously. So hopefully you'll enjoy that. But otherwise, you can follow me at @cranky_hippo. But what about you, Flo?
Well, thank you, Brian. Well, you can find me on the internet. I'm on the internet on Twitter at @OhThatFlo. You can over to my website, florenceion.com. And for now, you can just find me penning things at Android Central a couple times a week. A couple other places coming soon, and I will let you guys know where you can find me. For now, that's where you can find me. Thank you guys for tuning in today. My goodness gracious. This is All About Android, which we film every Tuesday here at the Twit Network. Be sure to sign up for the Twit newsletter so that you know what is going on here at the studio. You get behind-the-scenes stuff, a great little email package every week in your inbox. Please do leave us a voicemail if you'd like to say anything at all, at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can also email and video mail us at AAA@twit.tv. You know we absolutely love those. Please send those along. Also, you can tweet at us at Android Show. And you can also find us on Reddit at twit@AAA.reddit.com. And you can find show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. And of course, please don't forget to subscribe to us to YouTube and iTunes, because that's really the big gauge of the world and how people are doing. So please subscribe and review and let everybody know how great we absolutely are, because we are great. And we will see you here again next week. Just us in the crowd. Thank you guys so much. Bye-bye.